Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 2nd of March. I am Paul White and I'm so excited to get into the 11th chapter of Zechariah. This is the fulcrum to me around which not only the book of Zechariah revolves, but it's also the turning point in covenantal understanding. I don't think that I can overemphasize the importance of Zechariah 11, particularly verses 4 through, let's say, verse 13. You could say through the rest of the chapter for sure. It is so full of the theology of God's dealings with Israel through covenant. It is not only messianic in its prophecy, it is a bit eschatological in its prophecy. It holds inside of it, I think, the feelings and the heartbeat of God towards his people through covenant. I want to give you a heads up. Over the next several days, I'm going to be referencing some things and using sort of as an outline my own book from 2013, a book titled Between the Pieces, and I'll be using the 7th chapter of that book called Can God Break Covenant? If you've never got your hands on a copy of Between the Pieces, I'd recommend you pick one up. You can get it at our website, paulwhiteministries.com. You can find it on Amazon. There are different ways to access Between the Pieces. And give it a read. I think it will be a book that that says some things to you about what was happening at Calvary. I'm going to reference it because I laid this case out for a majority of the 11th chapter of Zechariah, and I want to sort of work through that book as an outline, but also to add in some things, because, you know, things happen as you... That's 6 years ago that I published this book, so about 7 years ago I was working on it. And a lot of things happen in you, and you sort of... Some things you forget. It's been fun for me to sort of look back through that chapter, but other things you pick up in the interim that you want to throw in. I want to start with the thought that covenant, because we're getting into this passage on covenant, I want to lay some groundwork, that God has dealt with man through covenant for as far back as the Bible goes, and any reference, and this is very important for me to say, because we're going to talk a lot over the next couple of weeks about God breaking his covenant with Israel. Some of you might say that's not even possible, and I'm going to show you in Zechariah 11, it's not only possible, it's exactly what happened, and it's the only way to get around and get out of the old covenant. Otherwise, covenant's perpetual. How could we move on to a new covenant if God just goes, okay, we're not going to have the old one anymore? But any breaking is first preceded by Israel having broken it first, or the other side of the party having broken it first. To give you an example of this, I want to take a look at Ezekiel chapter 16, and I want to show you some things that God comments about covenant. Ezekiel 16:59. For thus says the Lord God, I will deal with you as you have done, who despised the oath by breaking covenant. And this is a text that tells you that God's dealings with Israel rotates around their first response. They broke covenant first. And by breaking covenant, God says, well, you've set it up for me to break the other end. Nevertheless, this is 60. This is Ezekiel 16:60. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. This is a term, let's not misunderstand this, because to me this is an essential, this is a Pauline argument found in the book of Ezekiel. Paul will capitalize on this sort of talk. That God's going to look at a covenant he had with them in the days of their youth is not a covenant they had when they were young, like a bunch of young people. Okay, when you guys were 17, 18 years old, we had a covenant. No. Young as a people, the days of their youth as a people. And the days of their youth as a people was in Abraham. Because remember, these are the children of Abraham before they're the children of Moses. Or you could say it this way. They're under the Abrahamic covenant before they're under the Sinaiac covenant. So I'm going to remember the covenant I had with you in the days of your youth. Which one was that? the Abrahamic covenant, and I will establish it as an everlasting covenant with you. So I think this is with Abraham, the patriarch, and he's telling them, listen, you've totally abandoned the old covenant. You've done that by worshiping strange gods. You don't take care of the stranger among you. You don't care for the fatherless and the widow. So I'm going to go back to the covenant I had with the days of your youth. Now, that's just a setup because you can't just say, okay, well, we're going back to the covenant of the days of the youth. You're still going to have to take care of that other covenant. And that's what Zechariah 11 is going to do. Let's read on just so we can finish out this passage. Ezekiel 16, 61. Then you will remember your ways and be ashamed when you receive your older and your younger sisters, for I will give them to you for daughters, but not because of my covenant with you. And I will establish my covenant with you. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, that you may remember and be ashamed and never open your mouth anymore because of your shame when I provide you an atonement for all you have done. And the atonement for all you have done, I believe, is Calvary. This is God giving the ultimate atonement. So here's sort of a breakdown. Remember, God calls Abraham and makes a covenant with him. You believe and I will bless you, and through you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Then, and we're skipping chunks, yes, for sure. Israel goes down into Egyptian bondage, and they come out of Egyptian bondage, and they get to Sinai, and they enter into the Sinaitic covenant. We call it the Old Covenant. It's really a covenant of works. Inside of that covenant, God establishes a priesthood. He has to, because they need a liaison between them and God. God also enters into side covenants. For instance, the covenant he has with David. He guarantees in the book of Psalms that, in Psalms 89, that David's covenant will last forever. We have mistakenly, and by we I mean in the church, a lot of times we've mistaken God's statement to David that his covenant would last forever, or that he wouldn't break his covenant. We've mistaken that to be the Sinaitic covenant, but that's Psalms 89. And in very specific terms, it's not the Sinaitic covenant God promises not to break. It's the Davidic covenant guaranteeing that the seed of David would be on the throne forever. God fulfills that by putting Jesus on the throne, who is king forever. All right, back to the main timeline. Israel breaks their covenant with God. They go into the land. They don't take care of their end of the bargain. They worship other gods. They abandon their principles. And God reciprocates by sort of mentally going back to the Abrahamic covenant. How is he going to do that? He has to eliminate the other covenant. Paul will come along in Galatians and say, the covenant that come 430 years later, that's the Sinaitic, can't annul the first covenant. So God brings the Abrahamic covenant to bear to the forefront and does it by bringing Jesus in the flesh. Christ fulfills the demands of the law. Christ is the heavenly high priest. Christ starts to replace everything. He replaces the temple. He replaces the priesthood. He's the rightful king. He's the fulfillment of God's promise to David. And then Jesus dies on the cross. He resurrects from the dead. And he becomes the ultimate sacrifice, not only for Israel, but for the Gentiles, for the entire world, so that God goes back to the original plan of choosing a Gentile to bless by faith. And so the Gentiles come in the same way Abraham came in. They come in by faith, and anyone who comes in by faith then becomes one of Abraham's seed. And so you have this, you have almost a return back to the way it originally started, through the finished work of Jesus. That sets us up, I think, for what's going to happen in Zechariah 11. And we'll work on the fourth verse tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.